You know, I hear pastors make the joke, oh, I was drunk when I was a kid, I was drunk to church every Sunday morning, Sunday evening. That's a blessing that you get to be in church.
Hey.
It's awesome. I'll tell you what. I look forward to getting here. Work week beats you up, it tires you out. You go through your trials and you get here and you get to be amongst family here. And it's believers, and it's people you know you're going to spend eternity with. And it just refreshes my soul. It's awesome to see you all here today. I see some visitors this morning. Good to see you. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate you being here. Hopefully we made it a warm welcome for you. If not, let me know who's harassing you. I'll smack them around before you after service. I hope you feel welcome. We're glad to see you. I'd ask if you'd all please stand with me to page 685. We're going to sing I've Got a Mansion. Certainly don't deserve. I can't wait to be singing with you guys up in heaven, praising the Lord. It is going to be good. I'll tell you, I've said it before, being up here is a whole different perspective of hearing the song sung. It blesses me. I don't think I get to lead music for you guys one bit. I swear it's because God knows I need it. It refreshes me, and it feels like heaven hearing these songs sung toward me. It's a blessing to my heart to be up here. Thank you, guys. I'm going to ask Jim Bush from the back. Would you open up the service with a word of prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the day you've given us, Lord. And Lord, just bless the service, Lord. Have you moved in our service, Lord. And Lord, just lift up Jesus Christ, Lord, in our hearts, Lord. And Lord, just what we learned here, let us go out and tell others, Lord. Bring them in, Lord, and let them save, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for these things, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your kindness, and your goodness, Lord. Lord, we just praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, I think the Holy Spirit's about to change them up here. They have a song picked out, but I think he wants us to change over here. If you would, turn with me to page 467. We're going to sing I Need Thee Every Hour.
Yes.
I know it myself. I need him every second. I'm thankful that he's always there for me.
Amen.
Glad to be here. Glad we have the Bible this morning and the ability to sing out with our voices to glorify Jesus Christ, our Savior. As far as announcements go, first I just want to say thank you to all veterans. Thursday was Veterans Day, so I want to say a special thank you to those that have served our country. And we got a little gift back there for the veterans. So if you're a veteran, feel free as you're leaving out this morning to take one of these coffee mugs here. It's got a pen and also a bookmark in it saying praying for our heroes. Another thing to keep in the back of your mind and pray for them. It's estimated around 22 veterans take their life a day.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a great need. There's a ministry there that can just be had towards veterans and what they're going through. So thank you again for those that have served our country. Feel free as you're walking out to take one of those coffee mugs. For those that aren't veterans, we have a gift for you as well. The bookmark and pen, there's some laid out there on that table. So feel free, everybody take something this morning. But if you're a veteran, please feel free to take that coffee mug there. Pastor Tim Krotz, he sent me a thank you letter. He says, Pastor, welcome to Ray Street Baptist Church. He says, thank you very much for allowing me to be a part of your fall revival. Thank you for the good place to stay and wonderful fellowship and good meals, the gift bag, and the very generous love offering. I left Ray Street Baptist Church rejoicing to see the hand of the Lord upon Pastor Welton as he searches the Lord's will in directing your great church. Keep up the good work, Ray Street. I'm praying for you guys, Pastor Tim Krotz. And he says, I love the congregational singing. It was magnificent. So he sent that thank you letter to us as well. I have three new tracks that got ordered. If you're interested in handing them out, like I said before, if you're uncomfortable handing somebody a track, and leave it in a gas station pump as you're pumping your gas. But I got one that says it's Ready to Die. It's a track for soldiers or veterans or anybody that served in the military. It's the testimony of Marine Sergeant Dunkley, James Dunkley. It's his testimony in here and how he got saved and he ended up giving his life for his country. But it's a wonderful track, so there's some back there if you'd like to take that out. Also got another track called Transformed. And again, it's another testimony of someone that came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one I had ordered was one called Proclaim Liberty. You know, we want to proclaim liberty, not so much for our Constitution, but the liberty that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and to deliver us from sin. So three new tracks back there that are on that table right over there. If you're interested, grab a few and just hand them out this week. Lord willing, again, we'll have public outreach Thursday, 4 to 5. And then Lord willing, this Saturday coming up from 11 to 1. If anybody's interested, just get with me. But we'll be going out and handing out some tracks in the downtown area, specifically to try the Spanish area. I got some Spanish tracks. I'm going to try to hand those out. And before we go forward this morning, we're going to have a special prayer time for Brother Bob Doom. Ms. Donna told me about him. He was a missions director for a number of years. I believe Ms. Rachel and John know him, but he's in the hospital this morning. He's not doing well. He's 80 years old, and the family's got to make some decisions regarding ventilator and whatnot. And so he's just not doing good health-wise, so I'd just like to take a moment right now and lift him up to the Lord, that God would give the family wisdom and guidance what to do, and that the Lord would also strengthen this dear brother, that he just keep his eyes on the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again, dear God, for the opportunity to come into your house this morning. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just help this dear brother this morning, Lord, Mr. Doom. Lord, help his wife, help his family, dear God. Pray you'd also help John and Rachel, Lord, and those that know him. Dear God, I lift him up to you this morning, Lord. I don't know all that's going on, dear God, but you know. Lord, I do know he's in a hospital and he's not doing well health-wise. God, I pray you'd strengthen his body, strengthen his mind, strengthen his spirit, dear God. Encourage him, be with him, lift him up, dear Lord. May he just keep his eyes on you, dear Lord Jesus. And help the rest of his family to do so, Lord. I pray this morning, dear God, that you give wisdom and direction and guidance to those that have to make difficult decisions. Lord, help them to know what to do. Give them a peace about it, dear Lord. And just lead and guide and direct that precious family this morning. Lord, we just ask that your will be done in that situation. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you would, turn with me to page number 9. And ask you all to please stand. We're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. We're going to sing the third and the fourth verse, a cappella. Sing it prayerfully. Don't just sing the words, but really pay attention to what you're singing here and sing out to the Lord. We're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy.
Our soul shall
19 and 20. This morning we're going to proceed further in the book of Romans from chapter 1 verse 21 all the way down to verse 32. We're going to try to complete this whole chapter this morning, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 19, to get context. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 19. The Bible says here, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even in his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Last week we looked at those two verses and saw how that man has the inward witness and the outward witness of God. A lost individual, we're going to find out someday, is without an excuse. Yes. They have a conscience from the time that they're born to know the difference between good and evil. Their conscience bears witness to them when they do things right and wrong. And not only do they have an eternal witness, they also have the witness of creation. All you have to do is look out here, what God created, look to the heavens above, and they declare the glory of God. That there is a creator with whom we have to do and who we're accountable to. So they are without excuse. Now, verse number 21 this morning. Because that when they knew God, see that statement, we're going to get into it. But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, which means was fitting. And when even as they did not like to retain God in their not, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I pray this morning, dear God, you clear my mind. I pray you clear my heart, Lord. Lord, keep distractions at bay, dear God. I pray you keep the devil at bay, Lord. Lord, some serious things in these scriptures this morning, Lord. I pray you just reveal them to our hearts, dear God. Open our eyes, Lord. Speak to us, dear God. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see this morning, Lord. Lord, help these things that may be preached this morning, Lord, help us to have a closer walk with you, dear God. Lord, just have your will and way, we pray, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Men are without excuse. There is no excuse when we stand before God someday. God gives plenty of warnings. You know, God even allows there in the book of Revelation a space and a time for even that woman Jezebel to repent and to turn back, which is amazing. That God would allow that woman there in the book of Revelation, that horror of Revelation, God gives even a space of time of repentance for that individual. And I'm so grateful this morning that God gives us space, that God gives us time to make things right before we cross over into glory someday. Man is without excuse. You see, this morning, dear brethren, it's not with me, as I said in the Sunday school hour, that we have to do. It's not with one another with whom we have to do, but it is God Almighty with whom we have to do someday. And God says here in the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul and having Paul writing that, write down these words. He says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You see, God has revealed himself to all mankind and that he has put the conscience within and creation without. The issue arises when man chooses to reject the inward and outward witness to God's power and majesty and chooses rather to worship the creature and himself. You know, I'm going to do a study on it. Another preacher I was listening to talked about doing a study on it. He said he's never done it yet. And it kind of put something in my heart to say, well, maybe I should look into it too. He says almost every time in the Bible, if you do a cross reference where someone says, I think or I thought, they were wrong. Well, I think it should be this way. Well, I thought it should be this way. Well, I think this. It's wrong. I'm going to do a study and I'm going to cross reference it all through. I'm going to try to do a study on it. But it's very interesting, brethren. We find ourselves into a trap. Man finds himself in a trap when he begins to think, I know what's best, or I know how this should be done, or I know there's no God. You're a fool, the Bible says. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And here's a big thing. Neither were they thankful. You see, rather than submitting to God, man becomes vain in his imaginations and produces a foolish and darkened heart. Are you thankful this morning? Are you thankful for your church? Are you thankful for the brethren? Are you thankful? And I'm not just saying it because it's me. I'm saying it whoever will be behind this pulpit. Are you thankful for your pastor? Brethren, you don't need to tell me. I already know I'm a dirtbag. Outside of Jesus Christ, I'm a dunghill. I know that. But I know I serve a Savior who is to be glorified. Amen. And the Bible says, brethren, I don't understand why God says some things that he says in his word. I don't understand it. But the Bible says, in everything give thanks. I don't understand why God says that, because there seems to be some situations where you shouldn't give thanks. So I don't understand it. All I know is what it says. It says, rejoice in afflictions. Don't come up to me and say, preacher, I can't explain it, because how do you rejoice in afflictions? How do you rejoice when things are going bad and it seems like the whole world's falling apart, yet God says, rejoice in it? Not just endure it, not just go through it, but rejoice in it. But I do see one thing, and the problem here in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, God uses these first three chapters in Romans for man to get to the point where he realizes he's a sinner in need of a Savior. We're all sinners. It's not that we just commit sin. We are sinners. It's not a matter of, well, I've done a few things that are bad or wrong and broken a few of the commandments.
No, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And men don't come to God because when they knew God, when God revealed things to them, they didn't glorify God for who he was and the things that he revealed to them in their lives, they became unthankful. I said it during the Sunday school hour, I'm thankful when God corrects me and whoops my tail. I'm thankful that God chases me. I'm thankful that God will reprove me. I'm thankful that there's individuals in my life through the years that I've been saved that would reprove me because that shows me that they love me. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, open rebuke is better than secret love. I'd rather have somebody rebuke me and tell me that I'm wrong rather than go behind my back and talk about me, but in front of me have a little smile on their face. How you doing, preacher? Brethren, there's some things heavy on my heart this morning. But one thing as a preacher I'm not going to deal with is discord among the brethren. Any good shepherd ain't going to play that game because discord among the brethren is an abomination to God. Proverbs chapter number 6. You can speak bad about me all day long you want to speak bad about me. But when you start talking about other people about me, I'm trying to put down the authority that God's established here. And some of you know who I am. I'm not one to be a dictator. But when you go behind the pastor's back and you're talking to other brethren in the church, well, why does the pastor do this or why does the pastor do that? You're a rebel. And God help me this morning, brethren. I'm not gonna play that game with the pastor because I care too much for the sheep. That's an abomination to God to sow discord among the brethren. I believe God wants to do something with Ray Street Baptist Church. And I'll be the first to tell you I'm not perfect. But I know what God's doing in my life, and I know what God leads and directs, and I try to get alone with God every day before I preach, come up here. There's times I dread preaching. I don't want to preach. You understand me this morning? There's times I don't want to get behind this pulpit. I take this very serious. Brethren, I pray you can trust me, but every decision I make, I try to get alone with God on that thing. And I just don't do things to do them. I believe God's trying to do something in this church. Amen. But the Bible says that judgment must begin at the house of God. Sister Donna and Brother Jason has noted, I'm not Gary Freeman. And I've said it numerous times. I'm not Gary Freeman, so don't look to me to be Gary Freeman. I can't be him. He was his own man. He was his own pastor. He had this church. And for whatever reason, God brought me here. But I'm not Gary Freeman. And I'm not going to do things the way Gary Freeman do. I don't even know who he is. But one thing I can promise you is I'm going to try to do what God lays on my heart to do. I don't care this morning, brethren, for accolades. I don't care to have a name in Catasauqua or Allentown or Pennsylvania or the United States of America among independent Baptists that Preacher Chris is known through the ranks. I could care less about that. All I care about this morning is, am I doing what God wants me to do? And if I am, I'm safe and secure in that, brethren. And if you don't want to get behind it, then I can't help you. If you don't trust me as your pastor, that I'm going to try to lead and guide the sheep, then get rid of me. Vote me out. I'm telling you. Vote me out and I'll go where God wants me to be next. But I will not, as a preacher, as a pastor, as a shepherd, have discord among the brethren. Amen. And if I have to deal with it, I will deal with it. Because I love you. Because a church can't go on if it's this individual against this individual, this person don't like this person don't want to be with this person. Brethren, the church can't go on. This work here above God, these things have to be taken care of first before anything can happen with God. I said during the Sunday school hour, it's good to know the Bible. It's good to have Bible knowledge. It's good in certain places to know about the third temple. It's good in certain places to know about prophecy. They all have their proper place, but most importantly too, that God puts an emphasis on is our attitudes. And if our attitudes stink, God will not hear us and God will not receive us. Our sacrifices that we offer. God's trying to do something this morning. God's trying to do something in this church. But we need to be thankful what God's trying to do. and get in with God and go forward and try to be a testimony to this lost and dying world that's around us. Do you see here, he says, be thankful. Are you thankful this morning? Are you truly thankful for what God has provided for you in your life? Or do you nitpick at every little thing, especially when they don't go the way you think it should go immediately? Brethren, I struggle with this thing when I drive. When I'm driving and a person doesn't move fast enough in front of me, I get angry at them because I got somewhere to go, not realizing they got somewhere to go too. And I start nitpicking it and saying, why aren't they going faster? Why'd they make that left turn like that? And God looks down at me and he says, you fool, you got a horrible attitude. You ought to be thankful you even got a car. Brethren, I was talking to my wife last night about this. And you might think I'm crazy. Every time I take a hot shower, especially now, I get in that shower and that hot, I say, Lord, thank you for hot water. God, thank you last night. Dear God, I could get into a comfortable bed and have covers over me tonight to keep me warm. God, thank you that I could go over in the ease of my house and flip a little switch and turn it up because it's just a little too cold for me. And God, I'm getting a little warm now, so I'm going to turn it down just a little bit. Thankfulness. Are you selfish this morning or are you thankful? Do you complain and murmur about individual situations in life or are you thankful to even be alive? Luke chapter 18, take your Bible, look there this morning. You say, preacher, why are you talking like this about these things? Because, brethren, you don't realize if you begin to be unthankful, there's a chance you might become vain in your own imaginations and your foolish heart will be darkened. If you stop being thankful and you start dwelling upon your life and how you want it, you may become vain in your imaginations and in your conceits and your foolish heart will be darkened. And when light is put right in front of your face, you won't even see it because you're so ate up with yourself. Brethren, these are serious matters this morning. I think God's trying to get a hold of us and help us this morning. Are we thankful? Take your Bible and look at Luke chapter 18 and look at verse number 9. Luke chapter 18. Take your Bible here. Luke 18 and verse number 9. Luke 18 and verse number 9. Look at this story here, this parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to the brethren that are around about him. He says here in verse 9 of chapter 18, and he spake this parable unto certain, look at this, which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Jesus looks upon this group that's around him, and the Bible says here in verse number 9, and he speaks this parable unto a certain group of individuals who thinks that they are righteous, and look what else, and despise others. Brethren, I'm here to tell you this morning, there ain't not one of us that got a special inside track with God. Do you understand me this morning? There's not one of us in here this morning that's got a special inside track on what God's doing. Thank you this morning for going with God. I don't want the song service to go the way it's supposed to go. I want the Holy Spirit to be in it. If he leads and directs another song leader to go to another song, amen. That's what I'm talking about, brethren. A walk with God. I didn't know we were going to do that this morning. An inside track with the Lord, I don't even know what the Lord's going to do. I don't want routine. I don't want to just go through the motions. I just don't want to do things because that's the way they're supposed to do. I don't want Jason to play a certain way to try to stir the music up, to stir our minds up, but not our hearts. Good. Brethren, this morning I can get him to play a certain way, play a certain sad song, and he would start crying just because of the music, not because of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the dangers with music, is music can be played and we can think we're all fine and good and all that, but we're not with God. It's the music doing it, not God. These are serious matters this morning, brethren. Who's stirring us up? The devil and the world and our flesh, or is it the Holy Spirit of God? Because if it's the Holy Spirit of God, it will be done decently and in order. And it won't be fleshly. If it's fleshly, and it's moving to flesh, it's not of God. And I can get you a Bible on that. Look at Luke chapter 18, verse number 9. And they spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised other. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican, God. Lord, I fast twice in a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see the self-righteousness of this pub, this Pharisee in his prayer life. He thinks he's got an inside track with God, and he's so far from God, he has no clue. And this poor publican comes in. You see, brethren, listen to me. I'm telling you this morning, God places a great emphasis on humility. And when we get lifted up with pride and we begin to think that we're something, God, and everybody else is nothing, we're not what we think we are spiritually. This poor publican comes in. He won't even come in. He's afar off. He won't even lift his eyes up into heaven. And as he's praying to God, he's hitting him saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, dear Lord. I don't even deserve to come into your presence. Oh, dear God. Too many Christians today are ate up with pride and arrogancy, and a froward mouth. For Jesus says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted. Do you not see what the scripture says this morning? Everybody that exalts themselves, God says you'll be abased. And everyone that says they're nothing, that they don't know nothing, they come with humility and say, God, I don't know nothing. Lord, help me, a wicked and undone sinner, dear God. It's only by your mercy and your grace that you saved me, that Jesus died for me. And Lord, just help me to live for you. God says that man someday, that woman someday will be exalted up there in heaven. We're missing humility today, brethren. We're missing brokenness today, brethren. We're missing contrition today, brethren. You see, Christians today, I'm afraid all they've got is a mind knowledge of God, and it's never touched the heart. It's never touched the heart. It's only touched the intellect. They can give you the right words. They can say the right words. They can quote the right verses, but it never brought down into their heart. Neither were they thankful. But they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Why is the United States of America, why is the world in its state it's in today? Because they rejected the knowledge of God. They've gone their own way. They went with their own foolish heart, their vain imaginations, and now their heart is darkened. You see, true thankfulness produces brokenness and humility and contrition and a repentant heart towards God. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says this. Solomon says, oh, I give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 79:13 says, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. We'll show forth thy praises to all generations. Psalm 97:12 says, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalm 119:62 says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments, O Lord. This rejection of God produces an attitude of arrogancy and false wisdom to the point where man becomes a fool, yet he believes he is wise. In his own imaginations and conceits, he believes that he knows it all, or at least is on the way to knowing it all. The word imagination means this. It means the power or faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas of things communicated to it by the organs of senses. An imagination begins by what it perceives by the organs of senses. I don't want to hear people say, well, I feel. That's an imagination. Well, I feel it should be this way. Well, I'm glad you're good at feel that way, but is God saying it? Well, I feel because this happened that God wants this. No, don't go off of your feelings. And there's a whole other message on going off your feelings with Isaac and dealing with Esau and Jacob. What messed up Isaac? He went off his feelings. He started to feel and it felt like Esau. He started to smell and it smelled like Esau. He tasted the food and it tasted like what Esau made. And the whole time it was Jacob. You can't go off your feelings, brethren. The only thing you can go off is, what does the Bible say? Your feelings will lead you astray. Your feelings will lead to a vain imagination. The word vain means this: empty, worthless, having no substance, value, or importance. A vain imagination, an empty, worthless thought in the mind. Proverbs 26:12 says this: seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. The word conceit means conception, that which is conceived, imagined, or formed in the mind, ideas, thoughts, image. Well, I feel in my own conceits and my own imaginations. The Bible says, seest thou a man in this state that's wise in his own conceit? He's wise in his own imaginations. He's wise in what he feels. The Bible says he's a fool. There's more hope of a fool than of him. He's actually worse than a fool. Proverbs 26:16 says, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. Proverbs 29:20 says, seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. And Proverbs 26:4-5 says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise, lest thou be also like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. You see, you've got to have a walk with God when you're dealing with a fool. Because sometimes you're supposed to deal with him, other times you're to keep your mouth shut. Number five here. It is one thing, take your Bible, look back over at Romans chapter 1, look at verses 20-25 now. Romans chapter 1, verses 23-25. Number 5 here. Look at the Bible says here in verse number 23, what they did. In verse number 22, they became wise, professing themselves to be wise. The Bible says they became fools. And look what happens when they become fools, because the sentence goes on from verse number 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And look what they did. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God, because that they changed the glory of God, because they were wise in their own eyes, and because they became fools, the Bible says in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. What did God give them up to? To uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God. There's something else they changed. They changed the glory in verse 23, and they changed the truth in verse number 25. The Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 14, that Jesus Christ is truth, and they mess with his glory. He is the glory of the Father. So who do unwise individuals today mess with? They mess with Jesus Christ. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God and made like the corruptible man. And in verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. It is one thing, Brent, listen, Brent. It is one thing to not acknowledge or to reject the witness of God. That's one thing. It's one thing just to reject and not acknowledge who God is. It's another thing to begin to change both the glory and truth God has put forth. This rejection, an attempt to change what God has done, leads a man into a precarious position where God begins to turn them over and to give them up to themselves, their lust, and a reprobate mind. Psalm 81, verses 11-13 says this, but my people But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Jeremiah 10 verses 14 through 15 says, every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors, and in a time their visitation shall perish. Jeremiah goes on to say in chapter 13, verse 25, this is thy lot, the portion of thy measure from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. You see, they did not like to retain God in the knowledge, therefore God gave them over to a reprobate mind. What's a reprobate mind? It's a mind that's abandoned to sin. It's a mind lost to virtue and grace. Take your Bible, look at the book of Job. Job chapter 21, verse number 14. Job, the book of Job chapter 21, and look at verses 14 and 15. Look what Job says here. Job 21, 14 and 15. Job 21, 14 and 15. Bible says in Job chapter 21 and verses 14 and 15, therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? It's a scary verse to be saying there, but that's their hard attitude. Who is God and what do we have to do with him? Jeremiah 4:22 says this, for my people is foolish. For my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have not known understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. The word sottish means this. It means dull, stupid, senseless, very foolish. Jesus said, or the Lord says in Jeremiah 4:22, for my people are foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. Take your Bible, look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 2. Jeremiah 9, verse number 2. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. They professed themselves to be wise. They served a creature more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Look at Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 2 through 6. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, there's a lot of places in the book of Jeremiah that reminds me of the United States of America. Jeremiah chapter number 9, look at verse number 2. Look what Jeremiah says. Oh, that I had in the wilderness. He says, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men. Then I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies. But they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil. And they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in my brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will talk with slanders. Brethren, if individuals begin to talk to you in this church or come in from outside this church, don't let them fall into the trap of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 4, to where you can't trust your brother, you can't trust your neighbor, because they're going to supplant behind you, which means they're going to go behind your back and try to supplant, and they're also going to try to slander individuals. Verse number 5, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they wear themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. And through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. You know why they refuse to know the Lord? Deceit. The blind leading the blind. They're deceitful workers, and in their deceitfulness they become deceived themselves. Corinthians says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Are you saved this morning? Or do you just have a mere head knowledge of who Jesus is? Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's good, because the devils also believe, and at least the devils tremble. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's pretty good, because the devils also believe, and at least they tremble. The book of Isaiah says, my people, I'm paraphrasing here, they've left off to tremble at my word. It's just the Bible. It's just the Bible. It's just the Bible. No, it's not just the Bible. It's God's word. Do you have just a mere head knowledge, or has it changed your heart? Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Do you not realize the proclamation you make this morning if you say you're saved? If you say you're saved this morning, what you're saying is Jesus Christ is in you. Amen. Which means he goes everywhere you go. He sees everything you see, and he hears everything you hear. Do you think Jesus would want me in church this morning? Think about that one for a second, brethren. Do you think Jesus would be in church every time the doors were open? Know ye not? Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you? Well, I'm a Christian, but I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven someday, and I've been in church 2 times the last 25 years. You might be saved. I'm not going to judge that. But what I will look at and scratch my head at is, you've only been to church twice in 25 years? There's something wrong with that. Because the Bible says that Jesus is in you. And one place I believe that Jesus would be here, if he was walking on this planet today, he'd be in some church somewhere. Amen. And the sad thing is, most people wouldn't want him in there. I guarantee it. Some churches he'd walk into, they'd be like, no, go on out, get. We're worshiping God here. It happened in the New Testament. They tried to push Jesus off a cliff. And we think we're more righteous than they? They tried to push Jesus, God, manifest in the flesh, off a cliff. And that was a religious crowd. You know who gave Jesus the hardest time? The religious crowd. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the self-righteous, gave Jesus the hardest time. And you know who's going to give us the hardest time in church? The self-righteous, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and those lifted up with pride in their religious walk with God. Jeremiah says, be wary of them. He says, be wary of them. The last verses I'm going to close up before we pray this morning. Flip back over to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 29. You say, preacher, I don't believe these things. I don't think these things happen. Well, brethren, verses 26 to 27 leaves no doubt that sodomy, lesbianism, and anything else you want to say that's perverted sexually falls into Romans chapter 1, verses 26 to 27. Why do we have so many sexual issues today, not only out in the world, but also in the church? It's because pornography is rampant. You say, well, preacher, how does it get to that point? It comes to that point because Christians, true believers, get to a point to where they're no longer thankful for what God's done for them in their lives. They become vain in their imaginations. And in this process of slowly drifting away from God, their foolish heart is darkened, and they do things that they never would do if they were walking in the light of God's word. We're led astray and we fall into traps, not so many times from the devil trying to get us, but letting our own flesh rule and reign. Romans says, make not provisions for the flesh. The more you feed your flesh, the more problems you're going to have in the flesh. Sexual sins is listed here in Romans chapter 1, verses 24, the lust of their own hearts. to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Why? Because they change the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve themselves more than they worship and serve God. And that can apply to Christians. A lot of Christians are more worried about themselves than they are what God says. And for that cause, God gives them up to vile affections. They do things that is against nature. It is against nature for a woman to be with a woman. Even nature teaches you that it's not right. You can put two female dogs together and guess what, honey? They ain't never going to have a puppy. You can put two male dogs together and guess what, honey? They ain't never going to have no puppy. You want a child unless you do some scientific stuff to where you mess around with it. But in nature, you're not going to get a child unless a man and a woman come together. It's impossible unless you mess with things. But in nature, if it's just a man and a woman and a man and a woman, if those two men get together and those two women get together, you ain't having no offspring. Even nature tells you and teaches you that this is ungodly and it's not right. But we're scared today because of what it might cost us if we come out against it. Brethren, I don't hate those that have that lifestyle. I've worked with a many of young man and a many of young woman that has been a lesbian and gay. And I did my best to try to bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I will not agree with their sin. It's wickedness before God. So I don't want nobody to come up, well, you just hate. No, I don't hate. But I tell you what God says, God hates it, and it's an abomination to God. It's an abomination to God. Verse 28. Even as they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, we're almost done here. He gives us this list in the very end. He says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. The word malicious means harboring ill will or enmity without provocation. Proceeding from extreme hatred or ill will. I'm going to stop on a few of these last words and ask you some questions this morning. Do you have maliciousness in your heart this morning towards someone else that you know? He says maliciousness. He says full of envy, murder. Well, preacher, I ain't never murdered nobody, so I got that one checked off. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know not that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 2:9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. 1 John 4:20 says, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? How can you say you love God who you can't see when you can't even love your brethren that are around you? Brethren, I'm going to say this morning. If you're here or you come to this church faithfully, you ought to know everybody's name. I'll say that again. Not to the visitors. Visitors are exempt. But if you're a member here, if you're a member here and you don't know some other people's names, shame on you. Shame on you. If you're a member here, or you've been going here for a long time and you don't know somebody's name or who they are and they've been coming pretty faithfully, shame on us. We're to love one another as Jesus Christ says, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For how can we say that we love God when we can't even love the brother or sister that we see? Look what he goes on to say here. He says, murder. He says, debate. What does the word debate mean? To contend for in words or arguments, to strive to maintain by reasoning, to dispute, to contest, to discuss, to argue for or against. This is in a list of not so good things here in the book of Romans. Are you a brother or sister that is given to debate? To where you constantly are disputing, you're arguing in words, you're striving to maintain reason, you're disputing, you're contesting, you're discussing, and you're arguing for what you want rather than what God wants. Debate. Are you a debater? Are you a debater to try to prove your own points? Debater, look what he says next, deceit. Deceit right after debate. Deceit means this, an attempt or disposition to deceive or lead into error, a design which misleads others or causes them to believe what is false. Brethren, I said it earlier and I'm going to say it again, I will not have discord among the brethren. If I hear somebody saying, well, you can't trust this individual over here, I'm going to deal with it. Discord among the brethren is an abomination to God. Don't go behind people's backs and talk about them. At least be man enough or woman enough to go to their face and tell them. Man up, woman up. But stop going behind backs. Preacher, you're rough this morning, absolutely. Because God hates it. And if there's discord among the brethren, we can sing songs till we're blue in our face. God ain't going to hear it. If we have hatred in our heart this morning, God ain't going to hear it. You'd be amazed what you hear about being a... You'd be amazed what a preacher hears. You'd be amazed what a preacher hears. I'm learning a lot these 9 months. Some of it's very good. Some of it is very concerning. I'm going to do the best as my pastor to squash it if I need to squash it. Because you can't have discord. If you're driving your car and you got a four-wheel drive car and your front tires are wanting to go forward but the rear tires are wanting to go backward, you ain't going nowhere. And that's exactly sometimes what's happening here. You got some tires that are wanting to go forward and you got some tires that are wanting to go backward, and then we're in the middle of nothing right now. We're like a hamster running around the wheel. I want to go forward. And if you don't want to go forward, I love you, but there's the door. I'm not being mean. If you don't want to get on the boat, at least just sit in the boat. But please don't get in the boat and stick your oar out while we're trying to paddle forward and you're just holding it against the water trying to slow us down. At least pull the oar in and just sit there and be quiet. But at least help us as we try to go forward. Brethren, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen today. I'm going to prophesy to you. I'm going to walk out these doors today, and I need your prayers. Because as soon as I walk out these doors today, not so much coming back tonight, but I'm going to need your prayers tonight as I go to bed, because all hell is going to come against my mind because of what I preached today. And I'm going to want to run back to South Carolina. I ask for your prayers. But I know what the Bible says. And these things God despises and hates. And God's trying to do something. Deceit. Proverbs 6, 12 through 14 says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. You know what a froward mouth is? A froward mouth is, you're not going to tell me what to do. That's rebellion. You're not going to tell me what to do. I ain't got to listen to you. I'm going to do that. That's rebellious. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, and he deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Who soweth discord? That naughty, wicked individual. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19 says, these six things, brethren, listen to what I got to say. Not what I got to say, what the Bible's got to say. Proverbs 6, 16 says, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that devises wicked imaginations. There are that word again, imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. How easy and how fun it is to talk about others behind their back. Oh, it's joyous. Feet that run swift. Did you hear what this person said? Did you see what they did? Did you see that this morning? Swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And the last one, number seven, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That is an abomination with God. Look next, he said deceit, malignity, whisperers. I'm not even going to go into whispering. I'll go into this one, backbiters. to slander or speak evil of one absent, to run about tattling, an evil speaker, malicious to defame an absent person. Proverbs 25:23 says, the wind, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. You want to see the preacher get angry? I'll get angry when you start talking about people behind their back. And I have every right to get angry because the Bible says, it says here in Proverbs 25, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Yeah, I'm going to get angry at it. Because it's an abomination to God. Backbiters, whisperers, deceitful workers, full of envy, murder, debate. Next thing it says here, well, let me park here 1 second. Proverbs 26:20-22 says this, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Do you not realize that sometimes people find out what you said about them behind their back, and it's like a knife going into their stomach? Do you realize how much that hurts when some knowledge comes across your path and you learn that this individual said something about you? It's like a punch to the stomach because you thought they were your friend, but behind their back there's something different. God help us this morning. God help us this morning. Talebearers. Psalm 101:5 says, who privily slandereth his neighbor? God says, him will I cut off. And him that hath an high look and a proud heart, I will not suffer. Paul says to the Corinthian church, I'm almost done here. He says, for I fear lest when I come, I shall find you such as I would, and that I shall find unto you such as you would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. That's to the church of God at Corinth. There were there in the church those that were envious. There were there in the church that were debaters. There were those in that church that had wrath and strife and backbitings and whisperings. And it grieved Paul and it broke Paul over what he saw going on in the church. The next thing he lists here, he says, boasters, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful. Despiteful. Are you full of spite? Spite means this, hatred. It is the effect of extreme irritation and is accompanied with a desire of revenge, or at least a desire to vex the object of ill will. Despiteful. Titus 3:3 says this, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. He says next, boasters, one who boasts or is a braggart. Galatians 6:3 says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So if I hear you say, well, I know something, preacher, well, you're just backing up Galatians 6:3 that you don't know nothing and you're deceiving yourself. For if a man think himself to know to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. James 1:26 says this, if any among you seem to be religious. James 1:26 says this, if any among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart, and this man's religion is vain. The last word we're going to look at is listing that there. It says implacable. You know what the word implacable means? It means not easy to be appeased. That cannot be pacified or rendered peaceable. You can't please this individual. You can't help this individual because they don't want it, because they're implacable. They're stubborn or constant in enmity and hatred. They're unyielding people, those that are implacable. You can't please them. You can't help them. You can't do anything for them because they're stubborn and they're unwilling to yield to what God set them under. Any lost individual who is willing to acknowledge the truth of these passages must admit that they abide under the judgment of God, but there is hope through Jesus Christ He has paid the penalty for our sin and has provided us a perfect salvation through his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. You see this morning, if any of these things are listed in your life, if they're in your life, you say, well, preacher, I'm doing good. Not one of those things you listed is in my life. Well, that's good. But do you take pleasures in those that do those things? That's why you got to be careful what you watch on TV. That's why you got to be careful what kind of movies you watch. That's why you got to be careful what kind of music you listen to. Because if any of these things are in the music and what you watch and see, you're in agreement with it even though you're not doing it. That's what Romans chapter 1, the last verse says. You may say, well, I don't do it. But do you take pleasures in them that do those things? If you do, you're just as guilty as they are even though you didn't do it. I'm going to close with this last scripture, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 18. 1 John 5, verse number 18. Look what the Bible says here, 1 John 5, 18. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, dear God. Lord, I thank you for this portion of Scripture, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd help me with it, dear Lord. God, I pray you'd help me to have the right attitude in situations, Lord. God, I pray this morning, if any of these things listed that I talked about that is contained in your word, dear God, I pray that we'd make them right. Lord, I pray we'd get those attitudes, Lord, if they are there under the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray this morning, if there is someone here that's not saved, dear God, they've never been born again, they've never truly been converted, dear God, I pray, Lord, you'd open their eyes, I pray you'd open their ears, and I pray you'd open their heart to the sin and righteousness and judgment to come. I pray the Holy Spirit would bring conviction upon them of their need of a Savior. And Lord, they would turn to you, dear God. They believe on your name, Lord, that they'd repent, Lord God, and turn to you, Father. And Lord, that they'd be gloriously saved. And Lord, help the brethren this morning, dear God. Lord, help us to examine ourselves. Help us to walk with you in purity and in righteousness and in holiness. Dear God, help us to have grace. Help us to have mercy, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us not to talk about others behind our backs, dear God. Lord, help this church to get on the right track, stay on the right track, plow forward on the right track, dear God, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to be that light on the hillside. And Lord, till you call us home someday, dear God, help us to stay faithful. And we'll just pray these things in Jesus' name, who deserves all honor, glory, and praise. In his name I pray. Amen. Amen. I'd like to sing a song here this morning. Page number 132. If you stand, page number 132. Page number 132. On a hill. Thank you.
Father, in the pen. Pray for our veterans. Pray for those that are in our military. Pray for our nation. Pray for those in positions of leadership, that they will make right decisions, that we can lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Let's pray. And Father, I thank you again for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for these precious brothers. I thank you for that precious book, Lord. I thank you for the precious cross of Calvary, the shed blood of the Son of God there upon that cross. Lord, I thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lord, that I can now have eternal life through Jesus Christ, my God. Lord, dismiss us with your blessings, Lord. I pray everybody have a safe trip back home, Lord. You bring us back together again this evening according to your will, and we'll give you glory and honor.